So have you ever heard a proverb or read a proverb, and it sounded really smart, but you kind of didn't understand it when you read it? You're like, I know there's something there. I don't quite know what it is. So the first time I can remember reading this proverb in Proverbs 14, I had that kind of expression on my face. Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty, but from the strength of an ox come abundant harvests. So I'm not a farmer, and when I first saw that, I thought, well, it's trying to say something. I don't quite know what it is. Well, whenever you're reading a good source or talking to a wise person, and they say something you don't understand, that actually should be kind of a signpost or a light that I probably could learn something if I camp out here for a little bit. You know, the book of Proverbs, it just keeps flying right on by with more and more Proverbs. And it's real easy to say, well, I don't understand that one. I'm going to read another one. Well, the ones you don't understand probably have the most to offer you. And so this one, I camped out with it for a little while, and I started to think about, okay, imagine you were a farmer. What would that be like? Well, imagine a manger is like a barn being empty. Obviously, if there's no oxen, the barn would be empty. Okay, picture that. Second part of the verse about from the strength of an ox comes abundant harvests. If you do a little bit of research on that, you don't really need to do too much, but you understand ancient agriculture. You could get a lot more done with a pair of oxen than you could by yourself. You could farm really fertile, but maybe hard soil that you couldn't break up by yourself. And so you do a much better job if you have oxen. Well, I still couldn't quite understand what's the Proverbs talking about. Then I started to think about what would happen if the manger wasn't empty. What would the morning be like every day for the farmer? So this is a horse, but this type of morning awaits every farmer that has oxen too. So there's a big shovel, and I don't know if you can see what's being shoveled there. So there's some muck being shoveled. Bob and I talked about all sorts of different words to use. You're going to have to stick with us through that. But you can all see what I'm talking about. So if you don't have a pair of oxen, the manger's empty. That's the first half of the proverb. And the idea is you don't have all this junk to shovel every day if you don't have a pair of oxen in the manger or in the barn. And that sounds pretty nice, not to have to get that stinky shovel out and mess with this stuff every day. But the proverb says, from the strength of an ox come abundant harvests. This idea that putting up with this every day is worth it because of the harvest that an oxen can bring you. There's a reason ancient farmers didn't have mangers or barns full of kangaroos or something. You know, nobody wants to shovel something for no reason. They had a purpose in mind, a goal in mind. If we want to get a harvest, so I'm willing to put up with all this junk every day. You don't just shovel one day and say, okay, I'm done. The ox is going to have a fresh shipment there for you every morning, you know. So every day you got to handle that. Well, that truth of that proverb is true for our life too. A lot of us would like to say, okay, I'm going to get rid of my problems. I'm going to clean everything in my life up. And now it's clean. Now I'm done. But every morning brings new junk to deal with. Every day is going to have new stuff. And some of that is going to be on the inside of you. There's new stuff inside of you that's not good that springs up every day. Some of that's going to be outside junk that you have to handle. So let's start with the inside, Bob. Talk to us about what are some of the inside things we have to shovel out of our life every day.
Well, if you were in the early service, you would have heard about rat killing. I'm going to leave that for another day, because Lisa would probably throw something at me if I talked about that again. But let's just talk about inside, about just being bored, boredom. I know myself, when I am bored, I am most susceptible to getting my head in the wrong place, my heart in the wrong place, and then my life in the wrong place. I don't know whether you all know this about me, little maybe non-known fact. I pastored a church in a housing project for 7 years. And a lot of my folks got bored on Friday night, which meant they got drunk and they got in a fight. And boredom led them. They didn't get in fights through the week because they had jobs, most of them. But Friday night, that was something to catch. You think about boredom. And so we're talking about a harvest. That boredom has to be dealt with. Or maybe somebody would deal with resentment. That might be another big deal. Those things have to be dealt with. And that means we have to learn ways to work with the boredom. Unlike Jake, I actually did shovel manure. I had a summer job, and I worked part-time on a farm, and he said, would you put that manure in that cart and then go spread it? And so that's just what I did. I put it in a cart and got in a tractor, and I spread it, and it was really interesting. I'll leave that for another day, too, that story. But it fertilized a field that produced a harvest. There's some things if we will address on our inside condition, if we'll really deal with them, and that means we're going to have to figure them out. There are times we're going to have to tough them out. There are times we're going to have to say, man, I'm going to get up. What some of you guys say, we're going to suit up and show off. Is that suit up, show up? Going to do that in order to get through this, and boredom and resentments. Those are two. We could list a lot, but let me just stay with that, all right?
Yeah. One other thing that can build up inside of you day in and day out if you don't clean it up is just a loss of hope. Sometimes we deal with people and they don't seem to be getting it. And sometimes we just have this doubt will raise up, this muck will spring up in our life, and we'll think they're never going to change. Some of us think that even about maybe our own kids, or we think that about another family member. And if you let that despair pile up, it's going to make you sick, just like a cow staying in its own filth, okay? You can also have a lack of hope even in yourself. Some of us, maybe all of us in this room, we've had those periods of life, and maybe we're in them right now, where you take 2 steps forward, and then you take 5 steps back. If you go on that cycle a few different times, you're like, I want to get off this ride. I'm tired of this. But the way to get off that ride is to have the shovel in hand and get rid of that despair. That despair is just another trick to get you to take those 5 steps back. You can't give up on yourself. You got to have that hope that God can change you. So that's stuff that can spring up inside of us. Every day you got to fight that stuff. There's also stuff that can come on the outside. It feels like here I've got a picture of somebody that's fallen over hurdles. And there's hurdles that we have to jump every day in our life. You know, some of them could just be doing work we don't want to do. No farmer wants to get up and shovel all that junk every day. There's lots of tasks you have to do if you want to be healthy. There's things you got to do to be healthy. You know, whether it's physically healthy or spiritually healthy. If you want to be financially healthy, there's things you have to do every day. And not all of them smell good. Okay? Not all of them are easy to do. Bob, tell us about some more on the outside.
Just everybody here, I think, and you all, I get to work with Jake and Wayne and our secretaries and Ray Martin and you all. And not everybody gets a job like that, okay? And that happens to be a huge blessing in my life. Some of you work with people that are really difficult. I used to work in a warehouse. This is ages ago, but the memories are still pretty fresh. And I worked with a guy, and we were really equally yoked. He was about my size. We played sports together. And so when it came to unloading trucks, man, we could do it. I mean, it was a lot of fun. We set a record for unloading oil off of a truck. It was fun. We played the game, and that's another story for another day. He got a better job, and so he left me, and he was replaced by a bum. I mean, that guy, I mean, a snail worked faster than him, all right? We didn't have electric power jacks back in the dark ages. We had what we called mules. They were concrete wheels, and you'd jack them up, and you'd push them. One day he didn't get it. I ran over him with it. And, in Jesus' name, but I ran right over his foot. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, you're not going to work. Get out of the way, you know. So some of us have that. And thankfully, I didn't have to work with him long because I lost that job and went to another one. But you all know what it's like. And you can't run over somebody in today's world, and you can't punch them out unless you want to find another job. You know, those are things that you got to work with. And so you have to, we're going to talk about get to the harvest. And you can't let those people get to your inside condition, or it's going to cause you to, in one of the words of our friends, go out and get loaded again. You know, you got to work with those things. You got to deal with them. All right. So, Jake, that's some of it. I mean, we have a mountain to cover. We're covering a couple of things here.
So how many of you feel like through the course of your life, you've learned some hard lessons, but you figured out a few pieces of truth along the way? Yeah, we got some people that feel like that. So I'm going to give you a little strategy that I think could pay off huge dividends for you guys. So this guy who wrote the book of Proverbs, he looked at a farmer, he looked at some oxen, and he saw a truth that fit real life for everybody. And if you go out into nature or you go out into the working world, you can pick up on some wisdom that'll help everybody in life. And maybe along the way, you've gotten a few of those nuggets of wisdom that you say, I know some stuff. I know this is true because of the things I've seen. If you want to take that wisdom a step further, because that stuff's precious, but if you want to really buff it up so it shines, then you can do what we're going to do today. And that's what the writer of Hebrews does. So he takes this same idea from the book of Proverbs that somebody learned on a farm, but he applies it, that same truth, to the life of Jesus. And he says, okay, I know it's true that sometimes you got to deal with muck or whatever word you want to put on. You got to deal with that to reach your goal. But he puts that truth and he says, how did Jesus live it out? And so whatever truth you've learned over the course of your life, maybe it cost you a lot to learn it, take that truth and think about Jesus and think, how does that truth fit with the life of Jesus? How does Jesus live in such a way that makes use of that truth? Okay, so that one was free. That was just extra bonus, so that little wisdom there. So here's, coming out of Hebrews, here's what it says. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So the writer of Hebrews is going to use a race analogy here, but it's the same principle here. He says, throw off everything that's clogging up the works, anything that's holding your legs back, any sin that's trying to grab you and pull you down. He's basically saying, just like a farmer would use that shovel to clean out all the junk of the stall, he's saying you got to clean off everything that's trying to hold you back in your life. Why do you clean it off? Instead of using the word harvest, he uses the idea of a race, but it's the idea of a goal. He says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So far, the first verse here in Hebrews 12, it's the exact same as Proverbs 14:14. It says you're going to have to get rid of some stuff. You're going to have to deal with some stuff that's trying to grab you and hold you back. You're going to have to get out distractions and you're just going to have to push them away, you know? But why do you do that? You've got a goal ahead of you, okay? And so the goal might be a harvest. In the farming analogy here, it's a race. So that's the same truth. Here's where it gets even deeper, though. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So here's where he goes deeper with it. He's like, I know that same truth, but let's see how Jesus did it. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here he says, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus dealt with some daily junk. If you look over the course of Jesus' life, he didn't have a house. He slept on the ground day in and day out. He dealt with poverty and all the stuff that comes with poverty, okay, being hungry at times. He dealt with a bad government. He dealt with people that were brutally violent against him, okay? He dealt with all those things. Why did he put up with all that stuff? It's because he had a goal that mattered. Here it says, for the joy set before him. Bob and I were discussing this earlier. So Bob says, you know what the joy is, Jake? The joy that Jesus was looking forward to was us. Jesus wanted to save humanity. Jesus wanted a relationship with each one of us in this room. And because that was such a big goal for Jesus, he cared about that so much, he was willing to put up with the Roman government. He was willing to put up with religious people who didn't get it. He was willing to put up with people who said they're going to follow him with their mouths, but they turned their backs on him. He was willing to put up with all that junk because he had a goal in mind that mattered. He had us in mind.
Let me interrupt you one more time here, Jake. Friday we had a service with a young man who was brutally shot a couple of weeks ago. I want to say our ushers, our parking lot attendants, the people who provided a meal, you all know who you are. You were so amazing. I mean, that was just off the chart to give to a family. And then I sat up in the balcony and I listened and I watched as Jake had orchestrated a service that under those circumstances was, in my opinion, the best you could ever do. Amen. And Jake preached a sermon that actually moved me to tears. And I got down here and I kind of blubbered as I gave him a hug and told him how good it was. But when he read that passage earlier today, it reminded me of that moment. And as a kind of a father figure in his life, I think I'm older than his dad, I was such a proud dad in that realm to see this man serve the Lord so well. It still gets me. Amen. Now, when you look, I'm going to leave you alone a minute now. When you look in the mirror, you need to know that there is a Father in heaven who is cheering you on, and that Jesus went through everything he experienced, and the Bible says he ever lives to pray for you. I don't have any clue what that is, but Jesus is so on your side. He prays for you 24/7 to the Father. I don't know how that works. He does. The Bible says it. I'm going to trust it, okay? Here's the deal. He has so much joy when you do it right that he's doing that for you. And that should be a great encouragement, all right? That should be a great encouragement. And then for you, please, to look at the joy of seeing other people that you can influence do it right and of pleasing the Lord. Run that race with endurance. It's worth it, okay?
Yeah. So right now, at this point, if we just ended the sermon here, do you feel like, okay, I'm walking out of here and I know what I'm doing? I know the changes I want to make. I hope that you're already there. But in case it's early in the morning and you're thinking, I don't quite get it yet, we're going to run through some stuff real fast, kind of condensed what we just talked about. But you have to make this for yourself. You have to figure out, what am I going to do? There's a little notepad in front of you if you want to write stuff down. Figure it out, because this is some really, really important stuff for us. So right now, here's what we're talking about today. Everybody's life has got this. It's true. Everybody's life does. Here's the reality about it, is no matter what you do today, you're going to have to deal with more of this on Monday. And you're going to have to deal with more of it on Tuesday, and more of it on Wednesday, and more of it 5 years from now, okay? A couple things you want to ask yourself about it. One is, like I said, farmers don't keep kangaroos and clean up after them. Some of us have kangaroos or other crazy things in our barnyard, and it's just like, it's not worth cleaning up after. You just need to get rid of it. Some of us have some friendships that just fill our life with this, and it's not time to shovel it up anymore. It's just time to get rid of it, okay? But some of us have family that have some of this going on in our life, and we need to stick with them. Some of us have some work that has some of this, and it's worth sticking with it. Okay, so you have to figure out, everybody's got to deal with this. Some of it, you just get rid of the whole cause of it. Some of it, you think, I can't get rid of the cause of this because there's a harvest in mind. It's worth dealing with all this junk because there's a harvest I'm looking forward to. I want that family member to change, or I'm doing this job, or I'm doing this part of the job I don't like so that I can feed my kids or so I can do something else. That's why these farmers dealt with that junk every day with the ox, because they wanted their kids to have a whole bunch of food. That's a real goal. Jesus put up with a lot of junk on earth because he really wanted to save us. It was really worth it to him. What is your harvest? What is the goal for you? If you don't know what the goal is, how can you ever get up and shovel every day? How can you shovel through the junk you're going to have to shovel through? If you don't know, if you can't say specifically, this is what I'm shooting for. The prayer praise we read this morning from the youth who wants to witness to somebody at her school, that's a real goal to shoot for. When she has to put up with some crazy thing at school, she has a real goal. If I'm trying to share Jesus with somebody else, so that makes it worth putting up with the math homework or putting up with the jerk who sits next to her or whatever's going on, because she has a real purposeful goal. Two nights ago, I was camping. I took this picture. About 20 of us went camping. So all the small group guys went camping this weekend. So we sat around that circle. I heard some stuff that are real goals for us to set. I want to mention some of that to you. The guys started to get real positive, started to talk to each other. Guys were saying things like, I see the type of father that you are. And I see how your kids aren't always easy, but how you've stuck with them. The type of man that you've been to be a good father to them. And that's going to pay off in your kids' lives. When you hear something like that, that's a goal that's worth putting up with a lot of stuff to get to. Heard some other guys talking around the circle about, one of the guys said, I respect you so much because when life got hard for you, you didn't go back out. And this person was being real honest about how they had gone back into their addiction when life had gotten hard. And they respected this other person so much because life got hard for them too, but they didn't give up. And I just think like, wow, that is a harvest for the people around you to be inspired to better life because you don't give up when things get hard. Somebody else shared about the friendships they have in this group and how they remembered when they were working out together, how people were coming to Jesus. People were getting baptized as part of this workout program they were doing because they were getting real with each other. That's a real type of goal to say, the thing I'm doing, I'm hoping people are going to get baptized from it. I'm hoping people are going to have a new life with Jesus because this thing I'm doing this week. One of the younger guys in the circle said, you know, I've never been at something like this camp out that we're doing. I've never been around a group of guys who can go camping, who can hang out and not drink and not do drugs. And he said, because normally there's that fear, I think he used specifically the word fear, to really be ourselves without some sort of substance to make it okay. When you hear about that, that's a real harvest to say, I've found a real community, a place where I don't have to be afraid, a place where I can be myself and have fun. Those are real goals. Those are real harvests that are worth doing some shoveling to get to. Do you have a goal like that? It's worth putting up with the things you're going to have to put up with day in and day out to get there.
Let's look at one more scripture. And verse 3 says this, consider him. Consider Jesus who endured such opposition from sinners so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. I read recently a doctor who had a patient who came to him, and the patient had nothing wrong. It was all in his or her head. I don't remember whether it was a male or female. And so the doctor went over to his medicine cabinet and pulled out two empty pill bottles. And he said, you know, if I fill this bottle with poison, it will kill you. If I fill this bottle with the right medicine, it will cure you. Some of us have pulled off the pill bottle and we have filled it with resentment. We've filled it with unforgiveness. We filled it with pride, with arrogance. Jake talked about loss of hope. We've